When I was a child, there was a very tall spruce tree at the very back of our yard. Now, some of you will know that I am very afraid of heights. But despite that, I would climb this tree with my siblings, and I felt secure in it because of the way the branches were so tight together, and it was easy to move through the tree and feel that I was not in danger of falling. I did not feel as secure as my sisters, though, who go to the very top of the tree. That was too much. But even from my vantage point, I was able to get a whole new view by climbing that tree. I could look into the neighbor's yards, could see over the roofs of houses around, could see the neighborhood really from a new perspective. It looked like a different place. And so despite my fear of heights, there was real joy in climbing that majestic tree. I felt free, and I felt like I gained a new view on my surrounding area. I was thinking of this because I think something similar happens in today's gospel when Zacchaeus climbs that sycamore tree. He climbs that tree, and then his life is forever changed. And I see this story as being full of joy, of newfound freedom, of a broadened and changed perspective. We're told Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, and he is wealthy, and he wants to see Jesus. Now, we're not told why. Does he just want to see what this crowd is watching, see as Jesus passes by, or does he actually want to talk to Jesus? We're not sure, but what we know is he's curious. He wants to see Jesus, but Luke tells us he's short of stature, so he can't see over the crowd. So he climbs that tree and waits for Jesus. Jesus comes up to the tree and I think probably surprises Zacchaeus by not just going on, but saying, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you." And so Zacchaeus does and brings Jesus to his house. And Luke tells us that he is happy to do this. Now, by some measure, Zacchaeus' life is going well. He's the chief tax collector. That's a position of importance and responsibility. It has made him wealthy and given him power. But the other side of that is tax collectors are considered sinners. They work for the occupying Romans and are considered to be traitors to the people of Israel. They're given no salary by the Romans, and instead they collect the tax and then charge more, and that's how they make their living. Many of them took advantage of this and oppressed the poor and became very rich themselves. And so because of this, they're considered sinners and traitors. And that brings us to our lesson today, where Isaiah warns about how we treat others, about what happens when the rich oppress the poor, and saying that God will not accept the sacrifices or even the prayers of those who oppress others. Those who oppress are called to repent, to be transformed. And Isaiah charges them to do good, to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, to defend the orphan and the widow. And if they do this, their sins will be washed clean. They will turn from scarlet to being white as snow, white as wool. In calling for repentance and justice and for the care of the poor and the vulnerable, Isaiah cites the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I got to tell you, as a preacher, I was not happy when I saw Sodom and Gomorrah mentioned. Those ancient cities who were condemned and destroyed by God have been used through the ages by preachers to condemn LGBTQ people. It's one of our texts of terror. It is rooted in a belief that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was sexual immorality, and just as those people were condemned by God, so too are LGBTQ people. I, of course, reject that and am supported by scholars who actually don't think that's so clear from the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was actually happening was more about refusing to welcome visitors, a lack of hospitality. The visitors are two angels that are with Lot, and Lot welcomes them, but the men of the city do not show them hospitality and threaten them with violence. And so for their sin, Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. Isaiah is mentioning these two cities not to condemn LGBTQ people, but to highlight God's call to generosity, to love, to justice, to hospitality. Isaiah's words show how the chief tax collector Zacchaeus' life falls short of the commands of God. Zacchaeus has become rich on the backs of others, especially the vulnerable poor. He is taking from other people those who can least afford it for his own gain. When Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, something happens. He welcomes Jesus into his home and he is changed. He tells Jesus he will give away half of his possessions. He will repay those he defrauded, not just making restitution for what he took, but paying back four times more. For this, Jesus says, Zacchaeus and his household are saved. Zacchaeus responds to Jesus and his invitation by accepting his call to a new life, to a new relationship with God. Zacchaeus embraces the kingdom of God. I think in meeting Jesus, Zacchaeus sees life in a new way, from a new perspective. He can be honest about the mistakes he has made and sets out to change them. He acknowledges how he has hurt others, how he's benefited by defrauding them, and he promises to make restitution. He acknowledges his sins, he intends to make them right. He repents, setting out literally in a new direction, in a new way of life. In this passage, Luke is reminding us that believing in Jesus is just the beginning. One's life must also reflect the reality of following Jesus, of responding to God's call that will refashion us, will change us, will transform us by God's grace. The call of Jesus will cause us to live in new ways. Our response to God's extravagant love is in turn to be equally extravagant in loving. This extravagance produces joy. It wells up in generosity. As Zacchaeus had a profound experience of God's call to him when he met Jesus and changes his life in significant ways, so Jesus calls us to do. So Jesus asks us to respond in the same way. As I mentioned during announcements, this is our annual meeting Sunday, and I was thinking how the story of Zacchaeus, I think, can offer a reflection on both the recent past, but also our coming future. The reality is we have been through several very challenging years. Since March 2020, we have had to respond to these challenges as they change and evolve. As the pandemic has unfolded, we too have pivoted and shifted. You remember those days when we worshiped only virtually, or when we worshiped on the backyard, or downstairs in the assembly room. We have learned to become proficient meeting virtually on Zoom. And thanks be to God, in the last few months, we've returned to worshiping here in the church. Also, some in-person gatherings, like our annual meeting today, are resuming. It's also been a sad time. During this pandemic, some beloved parishioners have died, And for some of them, we could not gather as a community because of COVID protocols. There have been far too many deaths in our state, in our nation, throughout the world. And then there are those parishioners who used to gather with us, who have not come back, and we miss them. All of these realities, I think, contribute to a sense of grief and of loss. And I know they cause us to wonder, what does the future hold? Where is God leading us? And I think we can have several responses to those questions. One is we can shrink, retreating into fear and worry, and try to protect ourselves from the reality of these difficulties. Another is we can try to ignore these challenges and act as though everything's fine, carrying on and seeking to recreate what we call normalcy. Or we can embrace the challenge of this liminal time. And I think today's gospel, and in fact our Christian life and faith, calls us to be honest, to acknowledge the challenges before us, and then to respond to them with trust and openness and generosity. Like Zacchaeus, we can climb that tree with joy, acknowledging it can be scary to go up there, but do so trusting that we will see Jesus who calls us, who invites us to widen our perspective. Like Zacchaeus, we can listen for Jesus to call us to him and to respond to that call with joy, without hesitation, and run to meet him. We can welcome him into our lives where he will feed and nourish us. And we can follow his call to let go and to be reshaped into the people, into the community that he calls us to be. We can respond to his great love for us by loving extravagantly in return, by conforming our lives to his way of extravagant, self-giving love. The reality is, this is a challenging time. It's an uncertain time. We do not know exactly what the future holds. But what is certain is that God is ever faithful, that Jesus will never abandon us, that the Holy Spirit continues to be at work in us, breathing in us, guiding us in the way that we should go. So my hope and prayer for us is that we do not shrink back from this time, but that we boldly go where Jesus leads us, just as generations past in this parish have done, and generations even longer past have done in the church. That we boldly go where Jesus leads us, and that we, like our ancestors in the faith, open our lives to him, open our hearts to hear God's call, and that we trust and follow where we are being led. Like Zacchaeus, let us look for Jesus and respond with joy when he calls us, following where he takes us, responding to God's generous love by living lives of joy and generosity, and being transformed and changed by God's generous love of us. Today, Jesus comes to us and he says, "Hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." May we welcome him into our hearts, into our lives, now and always. Amen.